A very good evening, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington this Friday, the 1st of September 2023. And I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. And tonight on Live Talk, we're discussing the way forward for Zimbabwe following a disputed presidential poll. But before we delve deep into this controversial issue, let's take a look at what is happening in Africa. The Associated Press reports that the new leader of Gabon's junta will be sworn in on Monday, but the opposition is demanding that power should be handed over to civilians. Still in Africa, a deadly record drought in the Horn of Africa has killed vast numbers of cows, goats, and sheep, imperiling the livelihoods of pastoralists like the Maasai in Kenya, who rely on livestock for food and income. Now a U.S. charity called Water is Life Kenya is helping herders by giving them new animals and cash. Juma Majanga reports from Nkongu, Norok village in Kenya.
On the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro, overlooking the Amboseli National Park in Kenya's southern border with Tanzania, residents of Ngong Narok village sing in celebration. Thank you, God, our provider, they sing in traditional Maasai prayer song. The Maasai, like other pastoral communities, depend on livestock as their main source of food and livelihood. They are still reeling from the Horn of Africa's worst drought in four decades and its toll on their animals.
It was a three-year drought, swept a lot of livestock. So almost everyone is very, very desperate in their life because of they cannot get enough food, they cannot take their children to school.
Today they sing joyous songs to celebrate the arrival of donations. Water is Life Kenya, a U.S. and Kenyan-based charity, is helping vulnerable families in the pastoral communities affected by drought by giving them new cows, goats, and sheep, as well as cash, so they can rebuild their lives. The grant program, now in its second year, also provides herders with skills so that they can better cope with the frequent droughts brought on by climate change.
We know that people here, you know, happiness is really built on livestock, and it's a good asset to have, and also goats give birth, and so you're building your assets. And so we said, okay, the grant will help them have everyday money, you know, money so that they can feed their families, and the goats will be like a savings.
Narese Toki, a 26-year-old widow and mother of four, is one of the over 30 widows who are each receiving three goats and $200 cash grant on this day. Her family lost all their nearly 100 cattle to drought, and Ntoki says she is eager to start over.
Today I am getting some goats that will help me start over and grow them to many more. God will help me multiply them.
Koyaso Sunte, also a widow and mother of six, received her grant last year. She says she used the money to start a bead-making business.
I save half of the profit I get from selling beads and set it aside to pay school fees. The money I get is not that much, but it is helping me take care of my family.
The record drought killed nearly 10 million livestock across the Horn of Africa, imperiling livelihoods of pastoralists like these Maasais. Water is Life Kenya says while the grant helps only a relative few, it is helping some of those most affected restore some of their lost livelihoods. Juma Majanga, VOA News, Ngong Narok Village, Kenya.
And back to our main topic, President-elect Emmerson Mnangagwa told journalists in Harare today that he is improving with time in terms of governing Zimbabwe. He was speaking at this year's edition of the Harare Agricultural Show.
Agriculture. It is my sincere belief that year in, year out, we are getting more and more modernized. And this is what it should be. We want to mechanize our agriculture, even the level of our cattle breeding. excellent. Instead of that, each year when this Advent or show is held, you can see the church from one year to the other. But most importantly, I'm told by the chief here that we have more exhibitors each year, both in terms of quantity and in terms of quality. Things are getting better and better. What we don't know is whether the media is getting better and better, but the economy is actually getting better and better. And the president also is getting better and better by being re-elected.
That day was President-elect Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at the Harare Agricultural Show. Last Saturday, Zimbabwe Electoral Commission Chairperson Justice Priscilla Chigumba told the nation that Mnangagwa was re-elected president after getting 52.6% of the vote, beating Nelson Chamisa of the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, who amassed 44%. The Citizens Coalition for Change described the elections as a gigantic fraud, saying many voters were disenfranchised by the electoral body, which allegedly withdrew council ballot papers in urban areas on voting day. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages. We are on VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And to discuss Zimbabwe's way forward, we are joined via Skype by human rights activist Makomborero Aruzivishe and Francis Mufambi of ZANU-PF. We also have Mr. Tim Muringai of the CCC while we're waiting for Promise Mukwananzi of the CCC. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, thank you.
I'll start off with you, Mr. Francis Mufambi, in Zimbabwe of ZANU-PF. We saw the president there at the Harare Agricultural Show that he's going to be a better president for Zimbabwe. And we're also hearing that there will be an inauguration on Monday. Please update us.
Okay, thank you very much. As you know, I think anyone with experience becomes better. And President is only confirming the constitutional provision, Section 94 of the Constitution, whereby when you are elected President, therefore the next stage is for you to get inaugurated. And I would like maybe to take this opportunity to say congratulations to President Edi Mnangagwa for the trust that the Zimbabweans have bestowed upon him. And congratulations to the Zimbabweans for making the right decisions to re-elect Comrade Edi Mnangagwa, who is the right person for the job. Thank you.
And I'll come to you, Mr. Tim Muringai of the CCC. We are hearing the ZANU-PF saying that the president will be inaugurated on Monday. What's your take? People have been waiting to see what the way forward is for CCC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. What we are waiting for is to see a process play through in terms of SADC, AU, EU, China, and everybody in the world who's concerned about the situation in Zimbabwe. The election was declared a sham, and it's parody when we look at what ZANU-PF is trying to do, force things down the throat. I hear my brother here just quoted the Constitution, but then the Constitution is quoted by ZANU-PF when it only applies to their situations. They don't apply it when we're asking for voters' rolls, for delimitation reports, for the results of the election. So we don't even know what the numbers are in terms of what Mr. Mnangagwa believes he said he won. So that's why we are saying we are not part of the sham process that's going on, and we'll see what steps to take further.
Over to you now, Makomborero Haruzivishe, over there in London. You are a human rights activist. What's your take on what we're seeing developing in Zimbabwe?
My take is whatever is happening in Zimbabwe, it doesn't find progress from the elections process themselves. And if we check from the viewpoint of human rights abuses, who know that Tinashe Chitunge was killed in this election by ZANU-PF, non-ZANU-PF activists, we know that there is Honorable Job Sikala, who is in jail. He was a member of parliament. He was, you know, denied the opportunity to participate in this election over frivolous charges. We know that at least 20 opposition candidates, MPs, and councillors were contesting from the courts and from jail. So this, from a human rights perspective, this election wasn't was not free and fair. And even the CIO, Deputy Director General, Gacha Masitulela, agrees with me, following his attack on the 24th, this is the 24th of August. He's one of the four fellow victims to thugs, just thugs who were busy beating people in Harare for no apparent reason, but with aims to suppress the voting in the opposition stronghold. So this, coupled with the absence of electoral reforms, a flawed and controversial delimitation exercise, a no voters role, abuse of the Maintenance of Peace and Order Act, the recent amendments, we know of the patriotic bill, abuse of state resources, and concerns over judicial independence. This was the most litigious election ever, where we saw Mr. Mnangagwa cherry-picking candidates using the High Court to cherry-pick contestants. And he also, fortunately, he overdid his rigging and cherry-picked ambassadors. We know some, even local ambassadors in Zimbabwe, have been observing elections before. They were denied accreditation by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, and others, for one of them, were arrested in the middle of the election. But by that, those that they accredited, they thought they called their friends, but their friends came to do what they've been called to do, to observe elections. And we saw in the preliminary reports that they wrote. And I heard my comrade there from ZANU-PF, Mr. Mfambi, saying congratulations to Mnangagwa. But I can clearly tell him that there's no inauguration on Monday. This is a disputed election. It's stingy. The results that were announced by Chikumba has nothing to do with the voting process, however mad and irregular it was. They have nothing to do with it. It was a test of illegalities, and the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission cannot even verify the figures they announced. They announced an election result which had leaked over 24 hours before they were announced. So this was a sham, a monumental sham, which was confirmed for the first time by SADC, AU, COMESA, EU, the Carter Center, and the world at large. We saw statements from the United Nations. So this does not represent progress, and this is not the end. It's just at the beginning, and it will not end well for Zimbabwe, and especially the election rigors.
And Mr. Haruzivishe, can you explain further? You say that there will be no inauguration on Monday. Why do you say that? We have not seen anything come from other parties challenging this election in court.
Due to the high level of contestedness of the results of the election, high level of lack of credibility of the election, definitely there will be political and, of course, legal means to make sure that this inauguration doesn't go ahead. Whatever, whatever strategy may work, as long as it catches mice, the cat, whether it's black or white, as long as it will catch mice, it will be employed to be deployed to stop this inauguration.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to you, Mr. Mufambi of ZANU-PF, you heard what Marco they just said, Mr. Haruzivaishe, about the inauguration. What says you?
That we are dealing with an opposition that does not even have a constitution, but they want to tell us about constitutionalism. Okay, for a start, if they want to challenge the election, they have the right to do so, and it's actually laid down in the Zimbabwean Constitution, Section 93, and there are procedures for them to do so, and we have, our hands are open to allow them to do so. And to say there will be no inauguration is just a dream, if I can call it maybe a political wet dream, because the inauguration will go forward as long as there is no court judgment to set aside the election result. And even if it's set aside, there are timelines that are stipulated within the Constitution under which an inauguration should happen, or the court should decide otherwise. So for them to try and condemn the election simply because of a few irregularities is just sadistic and disheartening. Because look at it, I don't want to go into the politics of the observer missions, because look at it, we had some of the observers which they rely on who are even who have criminal offenses, and they shouldn't actually be observers under normal circumstances. That's the breach of the SADC protocol to have people like that as observers. So all the other elements of the reports have been responded to by the party. We can speak about delimitation, which is addressed specifically by Section 161 of the Constitution, and ZEC had the final say to do delimitation. We have the voters roll. Every other Zimbabwean had a chance to use their phones, even the USSD, to check their details on the voters' roll. We have the MOPA. You know that ZANU-PF has more rallies that were banned by the police compared to the opposition, but they still want to be crybabies. Then you can talk. He mentioned the Patriotic Act. I think he doesn't understand what that means, because there is no Patriotic Act in Zimbabwe, but rather there is the amendment of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act. Sorry?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying there is no Patriotic Act in Zimbabwe. There is an amendment of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform in which states clearly that a Zimbabwean is not allowed to negotiate or on behalf of himself or an agent of foreign governments, so that they can bring trade blockades, so that they can bring sanctions against the country. There's nothing that is electoral related to that. They can speak about anything that was raised in those shameful observer reports. And as a party, we have spoken to this, and I will not overemphasize. Thank you.
Thank you there. I'll come to you, Mr. Muringai of the Citizens Coalition for Change. We're still trying to get hold of Mr. Promise Mukwananzi, who's on the ground, but over to you. What do you say, in response to what we're hearing there from ZANU-PF?
Like I said earlier, it's very clear as day. What we say is ZANU-PF will quote the Constitution when they want to administer what they want to administer. At the moment, we talk to ZANU-PF like I think one man has said it, Mr. Marco. He kind of spelled out everything clearly. We know that this election has been condemned by the whole world, and ZANU-PF, by trying to just continue on the path of wrongness, and whenever they are not favored, they say everybody's wrong. Like right now, SADC is an organ that was formed in terms to help our countries out in terms of disputes that is happening right now. So now they are calling the observers that came to Zimbabwe illegal, some were arrested, some were... You see, every time they don't get their way, they want to drag the whole country and the whole region into a fire. We have already seen how Zimbabweans in a peaceful country are immigrating to all these other neighboring countries because of the situations on the ground. What we have said, like the President, Advocate Nelson Samisa, said, we want peace. We want credible elections so that Zimbabwe can get back on the international scene credibly. So all we want is free and fair elections. That's why we're calling upon brand new elections, and I'm not sure why they continue to say that they will continue doing what the trajectory that they're going through. And they know that nobody in the world, like international banking institutions, with the disputed votes that we have, they will not even look at them. So what we're saying as Zimbabweans, let's sit down and have a new election, which is free, fair, and accredited by everybody.
Thank you there, Mr. Tim Muringai. I understand that we're now crossing over to Zimbabwe, to Harare, where we have Promise Mukwananzi, the spokesperson for the Citizens Coalition for Change Ready. Hello and welcome to the program, Mr. Mukwananzi.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Everybody's waiting to hear what is the way forward. As ZANU-PF, we just heard them saying there will be an inauguration on Monday.
Well, the inauguration, just like the election that produced it, is a mandate. And we are still on the same page. We are calling for fresh elections in Zimbabwe. On the basis of the fact that the elections that were conducted did not meet any standard of any democratic free and fair election. And the results that were then announced thereafter were actually fake results. They just cooked figures from the air and announced those figures and announced Mnangagwa as the winner. And to this day, they are unable to produce, you know, the electoral residue, which shows that how they arrived at the figures that they arrived at. So we have said that we reject this election, we reject the fake announcement of results, and we are calling upon the Election Commission to be reformed and reconstituted into a board that can conduct free and fair elections, and for SADC to underwrite those elections and the transitional framework to create the necessary reforms so that Zimbabwe will never again have an election whose outcome and whose processes will be disputed.
The big question is your party going to court to challenge these results with an impending inauguration?
We are considering several options before us, not just the court. The court is under consideration. Political processes, the political route is under consideration. The diplomatic route is under consideration, and all those options will be announced in due course, depending on which one looks viable and which one looks effective in terms of the objective of bringing about a fresh election in Zimbabwe.
Thank you there, Mr. Mukwananzi. I'll cross over to you, Marco, in the UK. What is the way forward from what you can see? We've just heard from ZANU-PF, we've heard from CCC.
The way forward is for Zimbabwe, the region, the continent, and the world at large to really convene and solve the Zimbabwean crisis once and for all. We all know, yes, people may speak of the courts, but I can tell you someone has been arrested 37 times, has spent countless nights in prisons across Zimbabwe, but I don't have any record of conviction. And this shows that it was persecution. Even my comrade in Mfambi there has also been, we were persecuted together at college. I'm sure he remembers very well. So there is no rule of law. We cannot speak of a constitutionalism with ZANU-PF in one go. Look, ZANU-PF subverted the whole constitution in 2017. That coup was not cured. We never returned to the path of legitimacy from there. So going to the court, it will only work. The court that matters is the court of public opinion.
Thank you, Marco. Let me quickly switch to a caller. I will come back to you. Hello, caller Makadi.
Hey, my Simba.
Aye, what's up, Simba? Or nani murukuvi?
Mchara na bless more masimo.
Chaura itinzwe.
Babu. Nini maoni yangu kumashinda kinsi? Ground is not easy. In plus, my bachelor akaitwa.
Hello, blessing. I think his line has cut off, but Angar Kuti ground is not even. So we'll come back to our caller as soon as we can get a chance, but he seems to have dropped. But Marco, you can continue.
Yeah, so my point was, yes, going to court, it will be taking steps exhausting all avenues, mm-hmm. because we are peace-loving citizens, and I'm sure those who are aggrieved in Zimbabwe, they are peace-loving citizens who want to exhaust all platforms available. But I can tell you that the courts, they are not even, you know, fair. We don't expect them to really bring out anything. If they are to court, anyone is to go to court, it will be maybe to try to appeal to the court, the only court that matters, which is the court of public opinion. Otherwise, there's no way we can expect Chief Justice Malava, who himself, you know, is unconstitutionally the Chief Justice. So obviously, you do a payback to his comrade, Emmerson Mnangagwa, who, you know, he broke and subverted the constitution to extend his tenure of office. So going to the courts and expect justice, it's like, you know, courts and sheep expecting justice from the courts of the hyena. They will always be killed. They will never win. So going to court will, of course, be exhausted. It's an avenue that will be exhausted. I'm sure you saw all observer, regional observer missions, they advise this way forward. After citing gross irregularities, after citing that, you know, gross actions which were done by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission, which shows illegalities, then if there were illegalities, then this means that it was a first row of illegalities. The process on its own doesn't, you know, guarantee the election credible. And despite even opposition wins and everything, even if Nelson Chamisa had been declared the winner as he had won, I can tell you his victory, he had been declared, he wouldn't have sanitized the gross irregularities that were done by the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission messed up. Imagine in Harare, some polling stations which are less than 5 kilometers from the ZK headquarters, they waited for 12 hours to have ballot papers after it commenced. And it shows serious voter suppression. And wherever we are going as a nation, for the good of all of us, we need a quick return to a rule of law. We need a quick negotiated pathway, which is guaranteed, you know, and underwritten by international institutions like SADC, AU, and the likes.
Thank you there, Marco. Thank you, Marco. Unfortunately, time is really not on our side. I wanted to give a chance to Mr. Francis Mufambi of ZANU-PF to just give us his last word before we turn over to Mr. Mkwananzi. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. You know, the biggest problem that we have is we have a disorganized opposition. And an opposition that does not have V11s. If you are going to ask Promise today that how many votes are they saying they got and are they saying they won this election, he doesn't know. And he's the spokesperson of the organization. So it shows you what kind of an opposition we are dealing with. They are simply cry babies. But look at it, as a party, we are no longer focused on the election, because the election is done and dusted. We are now focused on the economic package that the president is actually promising the people, the mandate that the president has been given by the people, which is to solve the economic question, to develop infrastructure, to develop the healthcare system, and to maintain peace and stability for the development of Zimbabwe.
Thank you there, Mr. Francis Mufambi of ZANU-PF. I'll now turn over to Mr. Promise Mukwananzi of the CCC. Your last word.
Well, our last words are the same. We want a first election in Zimbabwe. We want a legitimate election in Zimbabwe. We want a legitimate government in Zimbabwe, which will not just help Zimbabweans, but will also help the region, which has been overburdened with the burden of Zimbabwe for so many years. These problems must come to an end, and the region has an obligation to help facilitate that transition from bad governance, from dictatorship, to a government for everyone.
Thank you so much, and that brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, saying have a very good night and a great weekend ahead.